Michigan's recreational marijuana law kicks in today. Poised to lead the U.S. adult use market with a population of almost 10 million, the state's adult use program estimated to hit a lot of dollars as well. So let's talk about it. One in studio to do just that, Bob Hendricks, partner at Canalex Law, a Grand Rapids-based law firm that represents cannabis businesses. It's that easy. Robert A. Hendricks, we'll call you Bob. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Did you have this niche in mind when you started your first day at law school?
I had no idea on my first day in law school in 1981 that I would be a legalized marijuana business lawyer.
Tell me a little bit about your career progression, please.
I joined the Varnum Law Firm in 1984 here in Grand Rapids. Spent the first 11 years of my career as a business bankruptcy lawyer. I then left the firm and joined one of the firm's clients, a publicly traded company located here in West Michigan, where I spent the next 17 years working in their legal department and also in their HR department, ran both of those departments. I rejoined a couple of my law partners from Varnum in 2013, and at that time there were just the three of us, and I was kind of intrigued by this marijuana legalization phenomena, wondered about the intersection of marijuana legalization with business law, which was the kind of law I'd practiced my entire career. And so I went to my partners and said, I think there's going to be an opportunity for business lawyers to begin to carve out a niche to help clients who want to get in the marijuana business. I started to study and read and attend conferences, and here I am.
Here you are, again, representing Canalex Law, which, fill in the blanks, is a Grand Rapids-based law firm that represents cannabis businesses. Will today be a very important day for you?
Shelley, let me tell you that Canalex Law is actually a trade name of the law firm Wrigley, Hoffman, and Hendricks. And we use the Canalex brand. We've been establishing the brand for the past several years to basically provide identification to the marketplace that we are business lawyers who also focus on legalized marijuana.
Thank you for that. Is today a unique day?
Today is indeed a unique day. It's not the only unique day in Michigan. In 2008, the voters approved the Medical Marijuana Act. That was another ballot initiative, and that was the initiative that really started what we colloquially refer to as legalization in Michigan. The Medical Marijuana Act created the class of patients and caregivers who could use medical marijuana under very tightly circumscribed conditions, and that's what started it all back in 2008. In 2016, the legislature stepped in and said, you know, the Medical Marijuana Act didn't go far enough. We really need to create an environment within which we can have commercialized medical marijuana-related activity, facilities that grow, process, transport, test, and sell at retail to patients medical marijuana. So the legislature did that in 2016. What we have now in 2018 is the result of another ballot initiative, basically taking to the voters of the state of Michigan the proposition that adults should be able to choose to use marijuana, not just for medical purposes, but for other purposes. So we joined nine other states in the District of Columbia in authorizing adults to use marijuana under the conditions set forth in the ballot proposal.
So can I stand outside my my home or my work and smoke a joint? I don't mean to be, you know, blunt about it, but where's the legality coming up from
and
this?
It's interesting you use the word blunt, because in this practice, a blunt is another word for a marijuana cigarette.
Well,
in this practice, we can't avoid puns. They happen all the time.
Well, the
joint
right?
endeavors and this. And that. But the answer to your question, Shelley, is that there are restrictions on where marijuana may be used under the terms of the adult ballot proposal, and public consumption is not allowed.
Thank you for that. So here we go, again, with your expertise and the knowledge that we are imparting today. You mentioned the 10th state in the U.S., this legalization program. Michigan will be the 10th state in the U.S. will roll out its legalization program sometime in 2020?
Yes, it's the law becomes effective on December 6th.
Okay.
10 days after the Secretary of State certified the election results. the effective date of the law begins the process. It does not end the process. So on December 6th, adults may use marijuana. And in fact, adults may grow up to 12 marijuana plants in their home. But there will be no retail sales of marijuana. There will be no commercial cultivation of marijuana for adult purposes until after the Michigan Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs creates a regulatory application. They have 12 months in order to create that regulatory framework and begin accepting applications. So it's possible that the first application in Michigan for an adult marijuana grow facility might not be filed with the Secretary or with the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs until December 6th of 2019, and then it may take them several months to process those applications and actually issue a license. So our best guess right now is that we're looking at the spring of 2020 before we begin to see the commercialization of adult use marijuana in Michigan.
Another way to put the question that I asked, so what can people do today as opposed to what was illegal yesterday?
Yesterday, it was not lawful for a person in the state of Michigan to possess marijuana or use marijuana unless they had a caregiver card or a patient card issued under the Medical Marijuana Act of 2008. Today, December 6th, an adult over the age of 21 may possess and use marijuana in private, and they may also grow up to 12 marijuana plants in their residence for their own personal consumption. They may even give that marijuana away without any compensation to a friend or family member, as long as that person is over 21 years of age.
Yes. Seems like there are a lot of communities, Hudsonville, Walker, Grand Haven, Wyoming, especially around West Michigan, Bob, that are opting out of recreational cannabis. What's behind that action?
Well, I think there is, in my judgment, a misunderstanding of what the new law requires in terms of municipal responses. Municipalities are authorized under the new law to opt out and to effectively indicate that they don't want any of these facilities in their jurisdictions. They can't prevent adults from using marijuana in their jurisdiction, but they can prevent the facilities from locating there. But I'm not aware of anything in the law that requires those municipalities to have acted before December 6th. As I read the law, municipalities may act whenever they choose to act to remove marijuana or otherwise regulate marijuana within the terms of the ballot proposal within their own communities. What's interesting about this law is that unlike the facilities law, which was the law adopted by the legislature in 2016, that law required municipalities to opt in order to allow facilities in their jurisdictions. This law requires a municipality to opt out if they don't want a facility. In addition, this law allows the voters within that jurisdiction to basically take issue with the decision of their local government and to bring a ballot proposal before the local voters to decide whether or not they should kind of trump the decision of their local government and allow marijuana facilities back in.
Bob Hendricks with us, partner at Canix. Canna Lex Law, a Grand Rapids-based law firm that represents cannabis businesses. Again today, cannabis legal in Michigan as the voters approved it in November. Bob, the term expungement comes up when people talk about legal cannabis. Governor-elect I know Whitmer said she considered this for people who have prior convictions for marijuana crimes. Can you help us understand this?
Sure. I think the concept of expungement, which is really an official act to treat a conviction under a criminal law as if it never occurred, to remove it from the record of that individual for most purposes, I think the concept of expungement is tied into the broader reasons why we're seeing many, many states move away from prohibition. There's a broad consensus that prohibition of marijuana just has not been a successful policy. And one of the consequences of almost 100 years of prohibition is that many, many, many people's lives have been altered maybe for their whole lives because they've been involved in a marijuana arrest, prosecution, conviction. It may prevent them from eligibility for student loans or housing under certain circumstances. And so I think more and more governmental officials are kind of becoming aware of those problems and hoping to do something about them in light of the legalization actions that are occurring around the nation.
So what do you see happening to medical marijuana now that legalization is underway?
Well, medical marijuana will be one of the two types of marijuana that will be lawful in the state of Michigan. I don't think that medical marijuana will ever go away as a phenomena, because based on the reading that I've been doing for the past several years, there really does seem to be a significant body of anecdotal evidence that marijuana can be helpful for certain medical conditions. And people who need to use or think they want to use or believe that they are benefited by the use of marijuana for medical purposes, they may well want to interact with people who provide marijuana to them that have that medical-based knowledge rather than simply the knowledge of marijuana as an adult substance that they may choose to use. So I think we're going to see them continue on parallel tracks.
A couple more questions, Bob. What are you expecting with the economics of cannabis legalization? I mean, will it be as big as people say it is?
So in the state of Michigan, this year we have somewhere around 300,000 of our citizens who possess medical marijuana patient cards. That represents about a 3% portion of the population. The Gallup polling that has been done for many, many years about marijuana use in the United States, mm-hmm. it estimates that regular marijuana users in the United States are somewhere between, say, 12 and 15%. So we're likely to see a fairly significant increase in the number of our citizens who use marijuana. If you extrapolate out just based on the number of medical marijuana patients that we have, the value of this market based on the current prices that you can see on the internet when you go to provisioning centers and look at their pricing for their medicine, right now at 300,000 patients, the value of this market in Michigan is probably about $1 to $1.5 billion on today's prices. If we quadruple the number of people who are using marijuana, we will likely see some decline in the price, but certainly we're going to be looking at a multi-billion dollar industry in the state of Michigan.
Yes. This next question most likely will deserve much more time, but have they established laws for being too high to drive? How would that be assessed?
It is certainly a topic that has garnered a lot of attention, not just in Michigan, but around the nation, and in fact, I think globally. And the challenge is that so many of us are familiar with the drunk driving tests, mm-hmm. which allow law enforcement to do a relatively contemporaneous test of a person's blood alcohol content and determine from that blood alcohol content intoxication. The difficulty is that marijuana is metabolized in a very different way than alcohol. Alcohol will stay in a person's body for maybe 12 or 16 or 18 hours, and then it's gone. Marijuana, because of the way it's metabolized and it's stored in fat cells rather than in the water-based cells, apparently marijuana you can test positive for marijuana for 60, 90, even 120 days after usage. So we clearly have a challenge here of trying to figure out, does the presence of marijuana or its metabolites in the system indicate that that person is actually intoxicated or not appropriately behind the wheel of a car or running a piece of machinery in a factory? And we have a lot of work to do to figure that out.
Plus, I would think, again, another follow-up conversation, the employer. Are we to be screened as an employee? I don't know. Is that something that
an employer has
a right to do?
Generally, employers do have a right to provide or to conduct random testing of their employees. A number of states, particularly states that have medical marijuana programs, have been looking at whether or not that kind of randomized identification of a medicine user is an appropriate basis upon which an employee's job could be terminated. So that we're at the kind of the front end of the development of what the legal environment is going to look like for employees who choose to use marijuana.
And I trust you have carved out a pretty cool niche. Will you be busy in these next several years and more?
My partners and I have seen a significant increase in the number of clients and calls. We are pretty busy these days, and I expect that we'll continue to be busy into the foreseeable future.
Take-home message, final message would be?
I don't have one.
How about the contact information? I'll ask for that.
Sure.
Bob Hendricks, how do we find more about your practice and obviously continue this conversation?
My partners and I like to blog on this topic, and we post our blogs at our website, which is at www.CanalexLaw.com. Again, the name Canalex is a trade name of our law firm, Wrigley, Hoffman, and Hendricks, and we're located here in Grand Rapids.
And you are Robert A. Hendricks. Thank you, Bob, for this conversation. Michigan, the 10th state in the U.S., rolling out its legalization program sometime in 2020, but we talk about it now. Thank you.
Thank you.